to a very special episode on Nerds on the Rocks. I'm joined this week by former Nerds on the Rocker, Wesley.
How's it going?
And I guess technically former Comic Anvil, Kyle.
Hello.
So, yeah, I figured I would, well, one, it's been a while since we've done an episode, because you notice I didn't number this one, because I still want to do an episode 200 that's really kind of a thing, but we'll get to that another time. But I wanted to bring people together this week, because it's been a really, I'm not even going to say big week, it was really a huge Friday morning for comic books this week. And I guess we're going to start off, Marvel had an announcement, and I don't want to discredit their announcement, but in comparison, DC had like 24 announcements, or 25, I guess, so it's probably easier to focus on Marvel first since it's a single announcement, and that was the announcement of A-Force, which is the first all-female Avengers team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you, I forgot if you were the one who told me this, but it originally was supposed to be announced on The View.
Yeah.
And for some reason that announcement was pulled. I find that curious.
It got bumped for more and not to put anything against Martha Stewart or anyone else, but I have a feeling it's like something ran long or something was happening and they said, we're bumping the Marvel announcement.
Yeah, so
and TV's weird.
Yeah, and I the only reason I found out about it was because I think you and somebody else were complaining that they got people to watch The View and then not give on their announcement, even though the announcement came halfway through the episode anyhow. Just like their previous announcement, which was the announcement of the female Thor.
The Thor thing came in pretty like just at the end of their Hot Topics segment last time.
Yeah, but I feel like that was also broken on the internet before they said it on the actual show.
Just a little bit before, and this, I almost think it was better that they just did it the way they did, instead of having it announced on The View, because most of us, I think most people said, because when he said, dude, you got trolled on the watching The View, I said, well, not to be, as the one thing is like going, you know, it's not to be mean, but yeah, we kind of got trolled into watching The View. Because, I mean, most people don't really watch The View willingly. And unless it's like
well,
the only thing
I
off.
Was about to say, I don't think we would watch The View
willingly. No, but people do.
It has a big audience, so it's not discredit them.
No.
And it's an audience that I don't follow sales enough. How is Thor doing?
Last check is doing pretty well. I mean, it's Thor number one's gone through a decent bit of printings and seems people are still reading and still talking about it. I haven't checked the sales rating on it recently, but it's.
Well, I was curious just because, I mean, they had the trio of announcements. There was the Colbert Report, there was The View, and then there was. No, Iron Man was just an announcement. That wasn't on the show or anything. And they're also all tied into TV productions.
Yeah.
So I assume they got decent bumps from that. I was curious to see how much of a bump they got from that. But yes, going back to it, as far as I know, we don't have a ton of information on A-Force. It's an all-female Avengers team, and I believe it's being led by She-Hulk, Dasher, Medusa, and Nico?
And they haven't really said who's leading who right now. It seems like what they're saying, it's like The Verge just, they're definitely on The Verge saying something about, they just said that She-Hulk, Dazzler, Medusa, Nico, and...
Well, I think those were the four that were kind of announced as part of this. Everybody else was, there's a cover going around, so a lot of people assume that, everybody on the cover is going to be on the team. I just assume it's just, a really big, glory shot of, every major female in the Marvel Universe, or every known... Yeah.
Yeah, because Spider-Gwen's in it, and obviously she's not going to be in it. And they've got 90s Rogue, but most of them are, in old costumes as well, but they're showing 90s Rogue and then Jean Grey.
Mm-hmm.
Which is clearly not the Jean Grey that's alive at the moment. So it's from the looks of it, it just looks like it's, oh, look at all these women, female superheroes that we have, and they some of them may appear storyline. But, you know, if Captain Marvel's in it, I'll probably end up reading it.
Heck yeah. So. I love that they gave Dazzler back her old costume. I got a kick out of that.
I would say, again, it depends, because a lot of this is probably their most iconic looks, or what people, because, I mean, even Storm kind of has a more, okay, she doesn't have the mohawk, which I think is a fantastic look they need to bring back, but, like, a lot of these people do have, like, their older, even Spider-Woman has a kind of older costume as well, so I think it's just, like, okay, here's the iconic women of Marvel, and then I assume, like, the five in the front who kind of have a focus are going to be the five leads, and then everybody else are kind of like, yes, you know these female characters because, you know, they've been a big part of the Marvel, you know, like Black Widow and Wasp and, you know, Jean Grey and Storm and Rogue and Elektra and all these other characters. It's like, they probably won't be on the team, but there's no reason for, you know, throw them in there. And you did mention Captain Marvel or Miss Marvel, and it's actually done by the creative team behind the current Miss Marvel comic, correct? Royal Wilson.
Miss Marvel.
Yes.
Yeah, Miss Marvel, and because it's Miss Marvel is, I don't know if she's going to be on the team, but likely she'll pop up on the team at some point in the future.
Or she'll just be reading fan fiction or something like that, because that's what Kamala does in her own series.
Probably what they'll do is they'll probably have her pop up on the team, and she'll probably be the one going, I can't believe I'm on a mission with them. Wow.
They might have her, like, that, because she's, what, 15, 16, so she might be one of those people who tries to get recruited to the team. And, you know, like, it's just kind of like this, maybe like a fun one-off where she's kind of like, I want to join the team. And they're just like, you're kind of too young for this.
Well, they did do a cool little bit with her in the S.H.I.E.L.D. comic recently that Agent Coulson's kind of like, I kind of like you, and I don't really want to put you in any major, in any big stuff yet, but you know what? You're here? Okay, let's see what you can do, kid. And I was like, oh, cool. Well, I was like, and that was actually a lot of fun. So I think that's how Miss Parr will probably be treated as time goes on. If they put her in A-Force, she'll be, okay, let's see what you got. And also there's another character. Did you read about the Singularity character?
No.
Oh, Singularity sounds awesome. It's singular because this is from the USA Today story, which I'll link y'all to.
Random Southern draw. I'll link y'all to.
I can't, dude. I have Southern roots, so I can't. But it's basically what they said. Singularity is. And I'll quote directly from the site, is they had a mandate to create a new character, so Wilson came up with Singularity. Because she's not a flesh and blood human, she's a cosmological event, and she is a pocket universe that gains self-consciousness during the radical upheaval of Secret Wars. She doesn't have any real gender, but she chooses to be female. So they have her set up as someone who's learning about the human race and how to be... have relationships with different people, and Wilson likens Singularity to Q from Star Trek Next Generation.
Yeah, I forget the term they use, but it's the character for the audience, the person who kind of brings you into the universe, the person who asks the question. It's the companion on Doctor Who.
and Singularity, the character intrigued me. When I read about her, I was like, that sounds cool. I like this. It's like a really kind of neat, oddball sci-fi character that they can kind of bring into the Marvel Universe. And it's a really neat new character that hasn't really been used that often. So it hasn't really been done that often. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what they do with it. I mean, this entire concept, when we don't really know that much about it outside of Singularity and the four main people, so... And I'm intrigued to hear more of what they're going to do with this as this goes forward.
And I don't want to say this because I know how some people take it and I know how some people have said it, but I'm also kind of curious to see how this team comes together. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that in the sense that, oh man, women together, ugh. I mean in the sense like, you know, like, usually, you know, Avengers come together because it's some Loki or some giant threat. The Justice League comes together. So I'm curious to see like, if it's that... or if it's them just deciding that, you know, what, we don't hang out enough, if it's just like something like, oh, you know what, these guys, you know, these guys can't have all the fun. I just kind of
like
to see.
They come together in the midst of secret wars in some way. It's just they're not saying exactly in what way yet. So
yeah, that's what I'm kind of curious about. I'm kind of curious to see how the team forms, I'm kind of curious to see how membership goes. I am curious to see who goes on the team and who, you know, like, or, you know, these team up, they always have a rotating cast. Somebody comes in, somebody goes out.
And they're using Nico, and I like Nico, and I like that they're using, the characters that they're using in this are really good characters that, and I'm going, okay, this is going to be a lot of fun. I mean, it's like very strong characters that they can do a lot with.
Yeah. And I was not keen on the name A-Force, because it doesn't really sound like anything. But I like it when it's used with the call symbol. A-Force Assemble sounds awesome.
I think that'll be fun. Like, the first time they say, A-Force Assemble, I'm like, okay, that's going to be fun.
But yeah, the name itself just sounds super generic. But yes, A-Force Assemble sounds cool, so there's that. And this is out in June, I believe, so...
It's gonna go once this hits. I can't wait to see how this goes over. I can't wait to see when this hits, and because it looks like I said, I'm excited for it. I can't wait to see what they do with it, and it looks really good. So I'm excited.
Okay, so that's Marvel. On the other end,
oh Lord, yeah,
is DC. And I'm just going to start where I think I've always wanted to start. I am so happy to finally come to New 52. Brandon.
Bless them. Finally. How long have they kept that? I mean,
it's been 3.5 years. And I've said it since like 2012. It made no sense to keep it beyond the initial launch, especially once they killed off some of the books in the original New 52. It was just like, guys, drop it. It doesn't make any sense. And it put them in the...
Yeah, why was the branding there? I'm like, okay, it's still here.
I get why the branding was there, but it created, one, it was really awkward because, you know, everybody referred to it as the New 52, which is technically not the name of the universe. It was the name of the brand that they used.
And why they call it New 52 because they had 52 books. That's why.
Yeah, and that was the other thing. It kind of kept them in this weird bubble where they had to stick with 52 books, which meant if they canceled 6, they had to create 6 more. Or, you know, like, if you had some that were kind of on the bubble, you wanted to introduce new ones, those on the bubble had to dissipate because you had to keep 52. Granted, mm-hmm. The 52 was a harder news rule because they would always kind of sneak around it with, like, miniseries and one-offs and stuff like that. And, you know, they had the digital stuff. But mm-hmm. they're dropping the entire branding of the New 52. And I'm happy it's not something like the New 49 or something stupid like that.
The new, I don't know, new 30, 64, new...
The new 52.
The new 52.
So I will just say this much, and this is a bit of a confusion for some people. It also is not. It also means this isn't a reboot, which for some reason I think people have take. I guess they see the headlines that DC's killing the New 52, and they assume that it means that they're rebooting or relaunching, and that's not the case. It's just them. It's just them getting rid of that.
No, this is a reboot. If people can call Marvel Now a reboot, I'm calling this a reboot.
I still don't know what Marvel Now is.
It's
Marvel Now, all Marvel Now initially was a bunch of new number ones, but people kept talking as if it was a reboot. So, if that can be a reboot, I'm going to call this a reboot.
But you see,
this new Avengers Now.
I would call I'm not sure of a reboot, a refresh, or relaunch.
I went with refresh. I would even I'm kind of iffy on calling it a relaunch because even though they are introducing 24 new books, there are still more old books. There's 25 current books that will remain in this refresh, relaunch, reboot, whatever the hell.
Reinvigoration.
But yeah.
And it is a reinvigoration because they're just basically just like recharging the line.
They're recharging the line, and I think a refresh, I think, is a great thing because it's them taking a look at their portfolio and saying, okay, in the last few years, we kind of went heavy on Batman and we've kind of lost track of any sense of, I mean, one of the big complaints about the New 52 I often hear, and I really, really understand this when I watch the home videos, is that it has kind of gone really dark and gritty. Like, everything's like, you know, people are getting their heads sliced off, they're getting sorted, they're getting shot, limbs are falling everywhere.
Wait, what? Let's
not forget as well, they had the same week that they killed off two kids, they killed off Robin in Batman Inc. and Animal Man's Son in the same week as well. That was fun.
Oh yeah, that was an interesting week, wasn't it? That was a fun week.
That's just the way I categorize the whole universe. Because as well, there was the house style of art as well, where there were the occasional ones, like in quality, so you could notice like Greg Capullo's art would be great, but then you'll see ones that are off an awful lot similar.
Yeah, and I think, and sometimes I actually do think that would benefit them. It's one of my beefs with reading like Batman Eternal, is that like week to week, it's like, I don't know if I'm going to enjoy the art in this book, because there's so many different artists on that.
Yeah, I just read the first giant volume of that recently, and it's really good story, but the art's like, I do hand it to you for the art's, it's not, none of it's really bad, it's just very
inconsistent.
Like I found a few really cool artists that surprised me. I was like, wow, there's a few really cool artists in this.
And the problem with that is like, you find them and then you won't see them again for like 2 months, and it's like, oh, okay,
like, so I only get in for this story, darn it. Like,
yeah. But there was a period of time when they kind of were getting rid of a lot of that stuff, like the J.H. Williams Batwoman, like Jim Lee did Justice League for a while, and then
Jim Lee, he wandered off to do Superman Unchained, and now we don't know when his next project will be next.
Semi did Unchained, because it took him like, Unchained was delayed for like 3 months or something like that.
I just finished reading that recently in trade too, and it was a very good story, but that's the reason, because I said the delays on that book got to the point where I was like, I cannot keep up with this.
It was weird as well. I read like a few of those. They introduced the Superman clone or whatever. Yeah. Not Superman clone, but another superpowered one.
Somebody else.
It was another Superman who came there, who had come to Earth like years before.
Yeah, Ulysses, the one who
I can't think of his name, but he was.
Was there somebody else? How many evil Superman are there?
Well, there was another one. And then Geoff Johns' first Superman that they introduced, another one, basically the same sort of thing as well.
Yeah, the Man of Tomorrow guy, Ulysses.
Yeah, that's the one I was like, why is this happening? I don't like Superman as it is. It's like, I'm not reading these books anymore.
I like Superman, but he's like, great, because when I heard about the new power they did recently for him, I was like everyone else who thought Dragon Ball Z, the solar flare. I'm like, because I saw like enough Dragon Ball Z gifs on my Facebook timelines and on my Twitter. I went, yeah, he's Super Saiyan. I mean, one of my friends said, yeah, I want to see Super Saiyan Super Saiyan Superman. I'm like, yeah, and Goku's based off Superman anyway, so why not?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting power. I feel like, I mean, I hope it's not something they go to too often, because it's not something that would be fun to reuse. But I do think that concept of like him being able, like a last-ditch effort, and then him being human for like an issue or two would make sense. But again, it's something you can't do like every other month, because then it becomes, but like, you know, you put it out like once every 3 or 4 years, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you know, like, just kind of to go into the DC news of the stuff that's sticking around.
I want to talk, because actually this dive lines into, I love the new writer they got for Superman. The Gene, people, please don't get mad if I mispronounce his middle name. Gene Nguyen Yang. If I mispronounce his middle name, please don't yell at me later. But him being doing the writing, because I read his Shadow Hero recently. Dang, that was good. And I've read American Born Chinese, and that was really good, too. And
so I'm kind of curious to see what he's going to take up with Superman. You know, especially being that we just kind of apparently gone through several Superman.
I think around for a year at least. I'd like to see someone stick around Superman for more than 6 months.
I was surprised that Geoff Johns' run was ending. I'm like, wow, this guy just came on the book, did one arc in the F. I mean, I assume it's his choice. I assume at this point he can do whatever the hell he wants in the company.
Exactly.
You would have thought it was Remitter Jr. that left before him.
Yeah, but I...
I was surprised. Like, he's like, oh, it's my final issue. I'm like, whoa, you just got on this book. But I can also understand he's writing this. He's also doing the TV shows. He's around with the movies and stuff like that. So he's probably a busy guy.
Doing Justice League Dark Side War. So I get the feeling he's like, if I'm going to deal with a major comic, I'm dealing with Dark Side War and getting that all.
But yes, kind of, you know, going back to Kyle's point about their house style, I do think that's something that they've been proactive about near the end of last year.
Yeah.
And I think the success of stuff like Batgirl and Gotham Academy and stuff like that has really helped them to be like, okay, we do need more diversity in our books, not just in who we present as our lead, but who, you know, like, what are these books look like? Who is writing them? Who's the audience for them? And, you know, stuff like Harley Quinn, Gotham Academy, it's also known for its sense of humor, its sense of kind of offbeatness. Like, Harley Quinn is dark, but it's dark in that macabre, kind of awkward way that you, and it's kind of like a comedy you see on like FX.
Dark comedy, very, and still fun. Dark, but still fun and still twisted, but not to the point where you're like, oh, this is awful, but more like, oh, wow, this is really cool. Okay, I kind of dig where they're going with this. Rather than depressing dark.
And, I mean, again, some of these stuff that, I wish this had come about sooner, because I think that a lot of the books have kind of lost some of their creative sparks with a lot of the teams that have transitioned. I think one of the biggest ones that a lot of people seem to have fear problems with is the Wonder Woman book once Finch took over.
I'm still on the Cliff Chang and Azzarello Wonder Woman because I read in trade. So I'm probably going to be stuck with them for like another 2 years because their release schedule is really annoying. So I will never probably acknowledge that Meredith Finch and David Finch are doing that book.
That book hit and I saw the reaction to that comic, and it was one of the most glorious and funny experiences of people going. Of me just seeing people either outright swearing or trying to avoid swearing, like sailors going, aw, son of a, like, uh-oh. Well, it's going to be fun. And when I saw them still in the book, I went, oh, wow, they're okay. Because the reaction to this team has not been really good.
I've not heard anything positive about
anybody.
Even yesterday when they announced that they're sticking around, there was nothing positive about the reaction with that. I have no idea. I don't know. Maybe they have an arc that they really, really want them to do or something. I don't know.
That might be it. Like, okay, finish out the arc and then we'll see what happens and decide how they want to play it from there.
There's also a ton of other creative shakeups, but we're not going to go through that because, again, we haven't even touched on the fact of the 24 new books they announced.
Yeah,
so.
And some of those are really good.
Let's go. And this is based on the Newsrama listing.
Yeah,
it's not alphabetical or anything. So, this one I just find I would read it because it's a great character, but I just find the name funny. Robin, son of Batman. In case you didn't know who he was,
I love it. I kind of think it looks fun. It actually looks kind of fun because it looks so. I mean, I saw the cover picture and I went, is he teamed up with like a giant, like what, like a creature of some sort? I can't remember what it was, but he was teamed up. Yeah, there's the image. I just found it on there. He's teamed up with like some, like, winged creature. I don't know who it is, but. That looks just so crazy and ridiculous and awesome. I kind of want to see what Pat Gleason's doing with that. That just looks so wonderfully weird and awesome.
And you bring up Pat Gleason, and this is one of the reactions, and I think it's something that will go through this line. A lot of people seem to have issue, and I can understand why, a lot of people seem to have issues with a lot of the DC writer artist books, because
yeah.
I guess not a ton of them have been great. I assume that in DC's mind, they want to find the next Frank Miller,
mm-hmm.
but also a reason why Frank Miller is kind of crazy now. So,
It's
because the last one there, the more recent one that they've had was Deathstroke, I think. Tony Daniels doing art and writing, and that book is just so bleh. And the last one was probably Rob Liefeld on whatever book they had him do. It might have been Hawkman or something, or Deathstroke.
He wrote Deathstroke.
Because somebody thought that was a good idea. I mean,
just kind of speaking from the from a creative perspective, I think the reason you want different writers and artists, not necessarily because, you know, an artist can't write or a writer can't draw, is because it gives you somebody to kind of bounce ideas off of and to make things seem more practical. Like, you don't want somebody who's like, there's no man in this situation. It's you saying, like, this is a great idea, I can totally do this. And not thinking about, like, does this make any sense? Or is it just something really cool I want to draw? Or, you know, something like that. Or I'm going to write this because I'm going to challenge myself to draw something amazing.
But usually also a lot of these people, like, a lot of the writer-artists, they usually do have, like, someone who they do bounce off ideas off of that we don't know.
Sure they do, but like if you ever like read, like if you ever follow Greg Capullo and Scott Snyder on Twitter, like these two are always kind of, you know, like, oh, he just sent me this script and it's amazing, and oh, I was going to draw this but it didn't work so I sent it back. You know, like it's kind of like this back and forth where like you might have somebody who offers input, but at the end of the day you have final say because it's just you writing and drawing this. He's done good stuff with Batman and Robin, and I guess this is the book it's replacing.
And I'm kind of hoping, I mean, at least it looks like it could be fun, so I'm willing to see what it does. I mean, really, it's like Robin Son of Batman, like, I was like, okay, that looked cool, and then I saw Black Canary, and I went, oh, dear Lord, I cannot wait for this. Like,
yeah, Black Canary's next. And
Black
I was gonna
Canary be, looks good.
And not only that, it's written by Brandon Fletcher, who does Gotham Academy and Batgirl.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've read Batgirl. I've heard some not-so-good reactions to that. Not necessarily the book, but how it treated certain characters.
Yes. And
but aside from that, I actually do enjoy the book and how it looks, and I think the Black Canary in that's really funny, partially because Barbara burned down her shop, so they're kind of roommates. I wonder if they're going to continue that dynamic.
They're supposed to have, and now Black Canary is going to be like, from the cover at least, you can tell they're going to have her be like a singer, and I'm like, oh, that's going to be fun.
Well, it's kind of odd that they're going to do that when Spider-Gwen, from the preview pages and that, it basically just looks like Batgirl. Not Batgirl, Spider-Gwen. Just going off that cover, but it's basically Spider-Gwen. The music element, which, if they use that, that's fine, I'm not bothered. But the colouring on the, it just looks like something they took from Edge of Spider-Verse 2, or some of the preview pages.
It's going to be interesting to see how that comes together because I liked it, and Annie Wu's a very good artist, and the stuff I've seen her is really good. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that comes together. I mean, and of course then there's the Martian Manhunter book, which they haven't said anything about yet. So we don't know anything about. It's like,
okay, I'm going to jump ahead a bit because this is probably the most curious book for me. And it's Cyborg, because I could be completely wrong. As far as I know, Cyborg's supporting cast is his father and the virus enemy from Forever Evil. That is it for Cyborg. Like, that's his universe. That's been his universe, because he's been a member of a team his entire career. So that is the only thing that exists in his universe. So I'm kind of curious.
Fight Rust?
Huh?
You fight the actual rusting process. I don't know.
Cyborg, with such a situation with Cyborg, is you can pretty much set him with a little bit of anyone, and you can pretty much have an open scorecard to kind of set up whatever universe you want to play with Cyborg.
Sure you can. That's why I'm kind of curious, because there's it's not a new character, but it's like starting a new character because there's nothing there. If you do a Batman comic, you have Alfred, you have Commissioner Gordon, you have the Robin, mm-hmm. you have Batgirl. You have his dad, and that's it. And it's I was surprised that I'm surprised it took him this long to get a solo book the way that DC's been pushing him so hard for the past decade. But I'm also surprised that maybe it's because I've seen the animated feature film. I'm surprised. I really wanted this to be a Cyborg Shazam team-up book because I love their dynamic.
That'd be fun.
The animated movies.
I think because that's the weird part, that there is no Shazam book.
Yeah,
especially
but
by Johns.
Yeah, I was about to say, I've heard rumors that they are probably because he only has one book if you look at the gist, and that's his continuing work on Justice League. And honestly speaking, based on his next arc, I assume that's probably the end of it for him. Because, I mean, it would be, 4 years on the book for him? And the next mm-hmm. arc is Darkseid and Anti-Manos. Like, where do you go from there?
It's like, well, someone else taking over because I don't think I can top this.
Yeah, it's basically the climax of everything he's been setting up since the relaunch with Justice League.
And also before, and I know in the books that caught my eye out of this, and I like the weird books of DC's history, and I saw a Batmite book, and I went, they're doing a 6-issue mini on Batmite? Yes.
Yeah. Batmite and Bizarro would it to make.
Batmite is, dude, press. Book again, man.
But yeah, I saw Batman. Okay, that's an interesting choice. Not one I would have went with. I'm surprised. But it's like Batman. It's like that. It's the element of Batman that they kind of hide from because it's goofy and comical. It worked in the 60s and 70s in Batman the Brave and the Bold because those shows were more over the top.
Have you ever read the Elseworld story of The World's Funniest?
No.
If you ever get a chance, highly recommend reading World's Funny. So there's Batmite versus and Mr. Mispitalik teaming up and going through all the different realities of the DC universe pre-New 52. Like, it was done back in, late thousands, like that? And it is a fun book, because it's, like, basically all these different artists doing different bits. Like, it's Evan Dorkin writing it, and then Alex Ross does art for it with a Kingdom Come sequence.
I can kind of imagine, because I remember the very final episode of Batman the Brave and the Bold, they teamed up Batmite with Ambush Bug, and I can kind of see that working if they wanted to do more than a mini. I'm kind of curious, it's a Dan Jurgens, and I don't know who the artist is, so, it's going to be written well. I'm just really curious to see what it is.
Bizarro, it's like, I was reading about that because I was reading some of the Bleeding Cool stuff, and they have bits from the thing at their Burbank thing for their Burbank retailer meeting, and they're having today, and they have in the Bizarro series, they say it's from Bizarro World Bizarro and not the one they announced they put in Justice League recently, and the Prez comic is what caught my eye, because I was wondering, they're doing Prez. What, and by the way, for anyone who's not familiar with Prez, Prez was a teenage president from the 70s. I'm not making this up. And it is the weirdest dang thing, and I went, they're bringing back Prez?
Yeah, a lot of this just seems like they're doing a scattershot of their universe, and it's a smart thing because I think both Marvel and DC were probably caught off guard on the books that actually ended up succeeding recently. It's not just a lot of them has been because of diversity, female leads and stuff like that, but it's also been that a lot of people just aren't looking for necessary purely superhero stories.
And that's
I think a great example of that is Fraction's Hawkeye. While it stars a superhero, it's very, very little about him being a superhero.
And about his normal life.
Yeah, and it's the same, and granted, the book's ending, I was going to say it's the same thing with the Superior Foes of Spider-Man. It's about them being villains, but very terrible ones. And not terrible and awful, well, you know what I mean.
At least just more street-level things, really.
Yeah.
Because Hawkeye's coming back with Jeff Lemire.
Mm-hmm.
And you got series, Marvel-wise, you've got things like Moon Knight. But when I think of DC books, just in general, I don't see, there's a gap. Basically, it's mostly down to things like the Teen Titans book, which is amazingly still around, where...
Well, I mean, it's a reboot, but...
yeah, again, yeah, it's a back around, but it doesn't feel like they want to just do good for the sake of doing good.
And I think...
So it's superhero now. I might as well just do it.
And I think that was something that DC has tried to do. It's kind of funny. I think DC has tried to become Marvel more and more, and like they're trying to give their characters more complex personalities, where it's like being a hero is a curse to them. Where I think DC has always kind of thrived where their heroes wanted to be heroes, their archetypes, their heroic models, which is why it is you know. DC was for a time black and white. You're good or bad. That's why somebody like Catwoman stood out, because she wasn't necessary either. But for the most part, until like I would say the 80s or 90s, she was treated as a villain, and not this will she won't she with Batman as much.
Exactly, and it's one of the things where DC, because DC has their share of very like they've done their share of kind of offbeat ideas, but for a good while there, they did offbeat, but then they also had very awkward bits in their history.
Yeah, and then I've written about this, I've spoken about this before, and I will say, I will just reference this, I absolutely love Batman.
Oh.
By far my favorite comic book character. But there was also a time that they were over-relying on him, and what that means is that your books in general tend to be darker and grittier, because that, for whatever reason, is the version of Batman that tends to be most popular in comics. So when you have him appearing in everything, and you have to set the you have to match the tone with him,
mm-hmm.
look at Harley Quinn. That's a Batman spinoff book in theory, and it is the complete opposite of what you would expect to find in a Batman book.
Yeah. Because it's got things like Gotham Academy now, which is a Batman spin-off, but it's not reliant on Batman. Because I wrote about it when they announced, like, Batman and Arkham Manor.
Yeah.
And Gotham Academy. That, whether you like it or not, they keep making Bat books because people buy Bat books, whatever. But also, making a Bat book, for whatever reason, has it more likely to stay around for longer. Because if you look at what's the black Batman? What's he called?
Batwing.
That book was tanking. That book was the lowest of the one of their lowest sellers. But I think that got to like 25 issues or something like that.
Yeah, it had a good pretty. A little bit over 25. It had a pretty good run.
The numbers weren't that great. I never really saw people talking about it.
I didn't know it was still around. And then they kind of folded him into, I guess, Batman Eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Now it looks like they've got more. There's more wiggle room on things like this, because when I spoke to Brendan Fletcher and thought what was going on, that they treat it, they have pretty much editorial freedom, and they've only ever really been told up to that point, which is November, they've only been told they can't do one thing, and that was using Solomon Grundy. Because that's one of the stigmas about the New 52, at least, is that the editorial is a mess. And people were leaving because of it. That's why books get sent to die, like Static Shock, who in 6 issues had 2 different creative teams, which, yeah, that was a good idea. Whereas Marvel has to perceive that they have a lot of freedom, whether that's true or not, but it's the public perception is that they have a lot more freedom than DC do. But now it looks like they're trying to put more emphasis on the creators and letting them do whatever they want to do.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I think that was one of the taglines that they said. I don't know which interview it was, is that story's going to trump continuity, which I'm all for. I've always said that,
set,
you know, I'm
people up like a mother.
Yeah,
mother
I can imagine. I've never been a stick here for continuity. At the end of the day, I don't care if you are accurate to a story that came out 5 minutes ago or 10 years ago. As long as the story you're telling is damn good. You know, that's all that matters at the end of the day. Like, you can screw up whatever you want as long as the story you're telling is damn good. And that's always going to be the mark of a book. A book could be you're heavy and awful, and that wouldn't help. And it could be, you know, it can break continuity and be good, and that would be much better. And I think I hope that's what they do. Okay, just kind of going through this again. Midnight is getting a book. I guess I don't really know Midnighter, but from what I understand, he's kind of a gay Batman, I heard.
Yes.
Yes, a
gay Batman meets Punisher. And I know that sounds bad, but yeah, and is it being written by the original? Okay. So it was created by Brian Hitch and Warren Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
So is this part of the, he's part of the Authority, right?
No, in this universe, there's no authority. It's just kind of like, because there was a story that they had him in Stormwatch, and he's not in Stormwatch, and now it's like, I mean, that is just kind of like his own agent.
We'll see.
I don't really know how they're handling Midnighter now outside, and he's like a mercenary.
I assume this is going to be one of those books that's short-lived. Speaking of another Batman Beyond book, I don't know. Part of me wanted them to continue Batman Beyond, and the more they continue Batman Beyond, the more I'm like, you know, I think I was okay with the cartoon just ending.
Yeah, it's like it's one of the things like, oh, Batman Beyond's a great character, and Batman Beyond, maybe we're they really want to make Batman Beyond work, and I would like to see it work, and I'm hopeful Dan Jurgens has a good plan for how he wants to make it.
I think if they wanted to make it work, just hire Tim back to write it. He had a control. I think the biggest problem with Batman Beyond in the current landscape is that's not who they want Batman to be.
Correct.
Bruce Tim was okay with having Batman retire and grow old, and that's just not something you do in comic books.
I thought it was weird as well that it's now in continuity.
Mm-hmm, correct.
Which, again, they're saying that continuity doesn't matter and all that, but then you're having one that breaks the continuity so majorly, because as last time I was aware is that it doesn't acknowledge, it basically followed the Timverse logic of Batman.
Oh, okay. There was a point where they acknowledged that, what is it, Batman 666, because in that universe, Damian is Bruce's successor,
mm-hmm.
And then I think Terry is Damian's protege.
I think that's what they're going with here, because I haven't read a lot of Future Zen. I actually have the volume, I got from the library, I have the first volume of Future Zen I'm going to start reading soon here, and I'm like kind of curious how further they start doing with Batman Beyond. I read about
I don't think it should be a book. I think they should do it like Batman 66 and Wonder Woman 77. Do it digitally, set it outside of continuity, because trying to it doesn't work, because you're just mixing way too many pieces to try to make them fit, and the puzzle just doesn't make any sense.
Because it's a fixed point that happens, because obviously they know that Jason, there's fixed points that have to happen or whatever for you to say that it happens at the same time. Like, Damien never existed when this whole Batman Beyond thing started.
It's really confusing. And again, you know, like stuff like, you know, like in the Timverse, it was Dick, and then it was Tim. There's no Jason, and there's no Steph. It's a lot of stuff that just doesn't really add up when you try to put it into the actual comic continuity. We have replacing Justice League Dark, we get Dark Universe, which I think works for two reasons. One, I always thought the Justice League Dark branding was weird.
I agree.
They're not really a Justice League team. Two, and I assume this is also the same reason we're getting a Cyborg book, is because, you know, that is what they that's what the rumored name for the Justice League Dark movie is going to be. So it kind of makes sense to start getting people familiar with that branding. Especially being that, like, you can't have a Justice League movie and then have, like, a Justice League World America movie and then a Justice League United movie. It gets really confusing for people. But yes, I don't think we know anything about that other than...
Outside of the writer, James Tynion IV, who I've read some of it, and it's pretty solid. I read his stuff on The Woods recently. The Woods, I read the first four issues of that recently, and I really liked it. So I'm game to see what he comes up with for Dark Universe. And Ming Doyle's a strong artist.
Which helps, because she's apparently... Wait, wow.
He's
he's also doing... Is he doing...
He's doing the Hellblazer book.
Yeah, the Hellblazer. I'm very dick for saying, but as I noted yesterday to certain people, it's just in time so that when the TV show's canceled, people have some place to go find their Constantine fix. But yes, that show's not on for this world.
Well, the thing about Constantine right now is, I love the rumors that are going about Constantine, and because they're saying that the reason why Constantine the Hellblazer, they're saying there's some chance that other networks might be interested in picking it up. Likely when NBC cancel it, which I wouldn't be surprised if someone else.
Okay,
I
think if anything, it can probably end up on Sci-Fi, but that's neither here nor there. Okay, so I was correct. It is a she.
It's a she. Okay, I thought it was a he. Okay, I'm wrong.
No, I could, because I'm sure I saw Gail Simone retweeted, but I'm like, wait, am I thinking of somebody else? Because she seems to be really excited about all of this. I gotta create it.
Cool.
It's
like, thank you for that, Earl, but I didn't know.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are happy for that, just because, I think what she said is true. At the end of the day, they're listening to their wallet, and their wallet is that people want different types of books, and that's what they're giving them, and they're getting it out of interesting things. One of my personal most intriguing one is the Harley Quinn Power Girl one.
Yeah,
because Harley Quinn Power Girl team up book of her in the Harley Quinn books is really great, and I'm glad to see them expanding on
that. Which Power Girl is this?
That's, I think, the question that a lot of people are asking. I would imagine it's the Earth 2 Power Girl, the one that... but she went back to Earth 2 now, so I guess it would have to be the new... But the new one would be so weird, because she's, what, 15, 16?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she joined the Teen Titans as well.
Yeah, but I meant more like it's going to be weird if you kind of hang... Harley Quinn's crazy. So, it's also a miniseries, so they could probably set it in a certain time frame outside of continuity. So I assume it might, because again, I wanted to say it's going back to the dynamic that they had in the Harley Quinn book. Same writers and stuff like that, too. I assume DC's new power couple, because they're doing Harley Quinn Power Girl, they do Harley Quinn, and they have one more book on this, don't they?
Starfire.
Oh my gosh, thank heaven she finally has a costume.
Oh,
Bless them!
Because God, they also hopefully will be making Starfire fun, because I know how much Earl enjoys that I love the Teen Titans, and I put it, like, above Batman the Animated Series. But Starfire in the New 52 was boring. She was just emotionless, and you can make the comments about a costume or whatever all you want. I prefer, Starfire to not be basically a stripper that's almost finished with her set.
Well, I mean, to me, and I could be completely wrong, it looks like...
I like that
line,
by the way, Kyle. That was brilliant. Well done.
From the design, it looks like they're trying to kind of marry her personality and look from Teen Titans more. Because, even on her cover, she's smiling. She's like a rock star. And I think that's much different than how she's been portrayed in Red Hood and The Outlaws.
Yeah, I think if you made, if you gave her the personality that we are comparing to, the ones from the show, and gave her that costume, I don't think people would be as angry with Starfire. It's the fact that she was emotionally boring, she wasn't fun, all she was interested in, I think, were a couple of issues was between whether she was having sex with the Red Hood, Jason, or Arsenal.
Yeah.
So,
and I think that was another criticism of the New 52 when it launched. A lot of the women were, because I mean, the first issue of Catwoman had her boning Batman and Starfire sleeping with Red Hood and Arsenal and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And now you're getting comics where it's not a completely reasonable costume. Because, I mean, she's still wearing, but it's much better than when she, like, her, it's called a bikini if we want to be generous.
It's better. I mean, it's one of those things where you go, this is much better than what we had to deal with before.
And I honestly think, if shorts were a bit longer, it's a modern costume. Mm-hmm. Outside of the gloves, I don't really think a woman would wear those type of gloves. It just, but I'm not dressing that. But yes, she's it's the team that has they fixed Harley Quinn, even though she still exists in that Suicide Squad, and that's a bit iffy. But they fixed her, they made her fun and lighthearted, and it's still a very, like I said, dark and action packed book, but it has a ton of charm to it, and is one of the reasons it's one of the DC's best selling books. So I can imagine something similar happening with Starfire, especially being that we're also going to see her in Titans when that launches sometime, whenever. Since she's getting her own book, Red Hood and Arsenal are now buddies. It would be awesome if they were buddy cops. I honestly don't read Red Hood and Outlaw, so I don't know what type of dynamic these two have.
I don't know. I mean, I saw, because like the books that I'm a little bit iffy on are. And this is not to pick on Scott Lobdell, but on the Scott Lobdell books, on The Doomed and Red Hood and the Arsenal, I'm like going, I don't know. I mean, Teenage Doomsday, I mean, I...
Oh, it's a Doomsday thing.
That's what I'm thinking, because I saw the picture of what it looks like, and I went, it looks like Teenage Doomsday, and I'm thinking, wait, are they... I don't know for sure, because they haven't said anything else, but I looked down and went, are they doing a Teenage Doomsday?
I honestly thought it was a Doom Patrol book.
but I don't know if it's going to be a Doom Patrol book, or it's because, like I said, I just go by the picture, and the picture I see is just like a young-looking Doomsday thing, and I'm like, are they...
Also, basically, I was going to compare it to the Kid Apocalypse, but never mind.
Until I hear anything for sure, which likely we'll probably hear more of by the end of the weekend, as right now DC's having their creator summit, so we'll probably hear much more by the end of the weekend, but oh man, I don't know. The double books are the ones I'm a little bit...
Okay, yeah. I don't know if it's necessarily a Teenage Doomsday, but yeah, that looks more alien than my idea of it being a Doom Patrol book. Apparently, I have not been paying attention outside of this initial announcement as what some of these books are. I mean, granted, I wasn't interested in Doom, but I thought it might have been a Doom Patrol book, especially since they were just introducing Justice League.
And the We Are Robin book is one that, because I remember they were rumoring about the Robin Army book, and I went, is this like a form of the Robin Army book that We Are Robin's like the long rumored Robin Army of them just doing that style of comic? I'm like going, huh? I don't know, but this sounds interesting.
Yeah, I mean, none of these fancy pictures were out. I just saw the announcement, and when I saw the name We Are Robin, I thought it was a Robin team up book.
Yes.
Like, it would be Tim and Dick and Stephanie and Jason and Damian. And I really, really want that book to happen someday.
But it looks like a group of different teens, and we're going, huh.
Yeah, it's kind of it's kind of like Gotham. There was that first-person shooter. set in Gotham where like, you were the Batman or the Jokers, and this looks like that, where it's like a street gang who kind of, and it makes sense, Robin is kind of the, I assume most people are not dumb enough to assume it's been the same Robin, because they all look different. Well, somewhat different. Batman has a really great cloning process where they're all kind of young, dark-haired, white males. But I assume people have figured out it's not the same Robin with Batman all the time.
So the one that I love is everyone and their brother made a joke about the Justice League of America comic, because it's like, oh, Brian Hitch, how many issues have you gotten done? That was a joke. Everyone in there, and I go, and then today they said they, and they were saying like Brian Hitch has been working on this for a while. They just haven't announced it. I'm like going,
yeah,
like, and I went, okay, like
two years apparently.
Two years. That's what they're saying. Two years.
And people joke that you might get six issues out of that.
It's funny as well because they had the Justice League of America before Trinity, wherever that Forever Evil was.
Yeah.
They changed it into Justice League United, and now they're doing another Justice League of America.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Justice League United still exists, so...
Yeah, still, Justice United exists. Now it's Justice League of America, which is... It seems like it's just Brian... It's just them going, here, Brian Hitch, go and have fun. Go for it.
The only thing I find funny about Justice League of America is technically that's what they used to call the Justice League.
Yeah.
Because Grant Morrison's was called JLA, which is Justice League of America. But they just like, we'll separate it, whatever, we don't care.
And then, of course, this is the book, this is my nerd out book of the year. When I saw Section 8 by Garth Ennis and John McCrae, I went, Hitman. I loved Hitman. That was one of my favorite comics for a long time. And when I saw Garth Ennis and John McCrae doing a Section 8 miniseries with characters from the Hitman book, I went, yes! Mine now. Thank you.
Yeah, that seems interesting. I'm surprised they got Garth Ennis back for a book.
It looks fun. I mean, have you guys read Hitman?
Yeah, I've read a few, and I believe there's some Hitman Batman team up books.
Yeah,
I've read those as well.
And there's a Hitman JLA team up book they did a little while back, and there's a couple other, and it's like, yeah, it's a fun, and I'm like, this is gonna be cool. I can't wait to read that. That's like it's, you notice the oddball books are the ones that are like. What I'm gravitating towards.
I mean, and I think that's for the best. I mean, it's kind of the same way when the New 52 launched. I can find Batman stories if I want to. I can find Superman stories. But how often are you going to get something like Section 8? How often are you going to get a Bizarro book? How often are you going to get a Batmite book?
They're doing Omega Men.
I don't know who
Omega Men
are.
Bringing Omega Men back.
How did he seem to be retro announcements? It's like they already went to their vault. Like, what can work? Like, what's a concept that seems to be successful that we can pull out?
They kept the Green Lantern book, and then they also are adding Green Lantern Lost Army, which is merging the Green Lantern books they canceled into Lost Army.
Green Lantern to be their Batman, another Bat universe, so badly,
and it didn't work.
Well, it worked. It was probably their second best-selling book behind when Johns was on it.
Yeah, and then,
and once he left, like, everything went down.
Yeah, because the whole all books cross over with each other every 3 months,
and that doesn't work for people for a long period of time because people go, you know,
now you're making me pay $2.99 for 5 books for a series that I don't read anyway. I wouldn't regularly read anyway. It's like, when people have a problem with crossovers, people a lot of the time, things like the way the Green Lanterns were set up for the New 52 are why people don't like them.
And right now, like, the trades are, I imagine the poor people putting together trade paperbacks for books that wrap crossover to each other must hate their lives.
Even before the, Sinestro Corps War is a terrible thing to read in trades, because like the trades are like, okay, we'll do the core storyline and we'll forget the fact that this is like in several different books and this is like DC's big event. So it's like, yeah, there was a lot of interesting stuff that was happening, because I remember reading that event. I really liked it. But you read the trades, it's like, okay, this is just the main storyline, and then there's like the Sinestro Corps companion book or something like that. And it's like, and I think that doing a John's omnibus of like all of his Green Lantern stuff.
Yeah, they're doing like a giant John's averse Green Lantern.
Yeah, I mean, he was on the thing for what, 10 years or something.
Because that's what they did with Grant Morrison's Batman Incorporated. They just put all of that Grant Morrison's Batman Incorporated, New 52 and Pre-52, and just put it together and just go, bam.
It's also weird to think about it, because a lot of the stuff you think about Green Lantern now is like all Jeff Johns creations. Like all the different the Code Rings, which is like a staple. It's like that was a creation from him. Like Parallax was a creation from him. Well, no, Parallax is him making Parallax more of just a angry thing was. But yeah, out of that stuff, like I remember the Green Lantern cartoon and the Red Lanterns, that was not a thing that existed before Johns came on the book and all this other stuff.
Jeff Johns was playing cleanup and adding new ideas in the process. It's like, oh, hey, and they pretty much just said, hey, Jeff, you want to go nuts with Green Lantern? Okay.
Yeah, and speaking of books that probably have gone nuts way too often, and I don't know why it exists anymore, Justice League 3001.
Oh, God.
You know, okay, I read the first 6 issues of Justice League 3000 recently.
You're a much better man than I.
It reads better as a trade.
I read the first one, and I was like, you know what, I'm out.
I read the first issues, I actually was like, okay, like I've been hearing some good things about it from some of my pals, and okay, I'll check it out, and it read a lot better as a trade. It read really well as a full trade to get the good chunk of the story and the different ideas out there. It worked better. It worked well as a trade. Now, and because I was like, even single issues, I'd be like, man, I cannot share how this was whole. Because even I read the first couple issues and I was just going,
yeah,
this is a little tough. It's a little tough, and I get better, okay. But yeah, like, okay, this got really good by about the halfway point. It became a really solid series, but those first couple issues, a little tough.
It was one of those series you're just thinking, why is this a thing? That Marvel have got Guardians of the Galaxy 3000.
Yeah,
why?
I don't know about that book either.
I'm surprised that it's 3000, because wasn't Marvel used to do, what, 2099? That used to be their thing. I guess Guardians just skipped the year.
I like the Guardians, and I like a lot of people who are on that Guardians 3000 team, like some, and I'm even like, it's a trade weight. It became a trade weight, if anything, until.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. Like, especially being that they have a futuristic team. They have the Legion of Superheroes, but they have not. That is a book that they have not been able to successfully launch recently.
Mm-mm.
And again, it's weird because I guess they don't. I guess they just don't do teen books anymore that well, because it's the same thing with Teen Titans. Teen Titans, they don't have that sense of camaraderie that they had. Like, it's one of the reasons I used to like to not to bring it up, because it has hard feelings with some of our fans. But it's one of the reasons I say like the Unjustice book.
Thank you.
Because even though they had. Like, even before a show, which I was kind of disappointed that the show didn't follow the book more closely, but it was more about them, the young heroes just kind of wanted to hang out and be young.
Yeah.
Like, this is why, it was basically a clubhouse for Robin, Superboy, and Kid Flash at the time, or Impulse, and then, like, other people came to the clubhouse, and it was, like, awesome. Like, it wasn't always about them fighting crime.
Yeah, and now we have... All
right. Go on.
And now we have the Teen Titans of now, which wants to be young. The Kieran Gillen Young Avengers so badly. It wants to be so badly. It's embarrassing.
I remember I first saw Teen Titans, and I saw some of the first covers, and I went, and I said the same thing as you, Kyle. I went, oh, geez, guys, young Avengers much?
Oh, and they're awful, awful, awful Tron-inspired costumes. When are we going to get rid of those damn wings on Red Robin?
Oh, God. But we need to bring... I hope they bring back... What happened to Kid Flash? The Kid Flash just got... Nah, laters. Because like, we need some of that amazing costume back on the screen. on the pages.
It's one of the things where, like, the Teen Titans is... Like, that one was just me just going, DC, you're trying too hard. You're trying way too hard here, guys.
And I think sometimes, and I think, and this is not to parade this too much, I think this is going to be a problem with some of their movies, because you already hear stuff about like, the Legion of Superheroes, which is like, okay, the Guardians of the Galaxy, if it's a success, how can we kind of use that and launch a... And I can understand...
I'll use the time to consider my thought here of what I've got.
And I was just going to say, like, I understand why it's, Legion of Superheroes allows them to have a ton of fun personalities and stuff, but it's not necessarily the same type of thing as a Guardians of the Galaxy movie. I don't even think, it's weird, like, Legion of Super, I don't necessarily think space opera when I think of them, even though they do kind
They're
of...
They're a clubhouse.
Yeah, and it's like, I understand what you're going for, but don't force it. Like, you have these great characters, you have these great concepts. Make them work for you. Don't try to make them work for somebody else.
And the Legion of Superheroes, so you said, because as you like, I know that the Legion of Superheroes, they're a clubhouse. They're a space. They're a clubhouse for people who worship the superheroes and really like the superheroes. And that was a big part of their initial thing was, they had a clubhouse, and they invited Superboy to their clubhouse.
They had super secret rings,
and
even their rings did stuff.
They want that, and it's like, when you say Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm like, why? Are they going to put the Legion of Superheroes and suddenly put, like, a pop rock soundtrack to the Legion of Superheroes when released?
Not to continue this derailing, but I actually think I'm surprised that Shazam is so far away, because I do think that's something that both Marvel and DC are missing the boat on as far as adaptations go, is that there's a ton of stuff that focuses on being superheroes and being awesome, but Shazam, I think, is one of the only ones in the entire shade of anything they're doing, TV, movies, that kind of focuses on like that wonder of being a kid, and I think kind of should be aimed at that demographic where it's like, oh, I want to be a superhero. I can be a superhero.
Yeah, because did you read, I'm not sure if you guys are you guys following Multiversity?
I need to catch up on that.
Kyle, did you read Multiversity?
No.
Okay. Basically, I'll do the streamlined version of it then. Grant Morrison did Thunderworld book, and it was set in the Marvel Family universe. What was really neat about it is the way Morrison did it. It was just so glorious and how much fun it had with him being with the Marvel family of Captain Marvel and Mary Marvel and Captain Marvel Jr. and all that. And it was just so much fun. And I went, son of a gun, I want more of this. This would be awesome to see more of. And then Shazam and the DC New 52 has been a little quirky. As to how, because they tried to make Shazam, they made it Billy Batson a little bit more,
less Boy Scout.
Yes, and it's been a little bit of a tough adjustment. Now, I noticed they're balancing it out as time, but initially it was kind of like, whoa, guys, you're trying too hard here. You're trying way too hard to make Billy Batson not a Boy Scout. You can balance it, and then now it seems like the voice is starting to be a little bit more balanced out and make him a little bit more of like still a normal teenager rather than trying so hard to make him not white like Billy Batson of the classic Billy Batson. It's like, okay, you guys are balancing it good, but
that's why I was also surprised that they didn't do a Shazam Cyborg book.
I'd like that.
Again, it's based mostly on my experience with them in the recent animated movies, but they bring such lightheartedness to that team and their dynamic in the fact that they are, especially with Cyborg, I think because they draw him so old, it's sometimes difficult to remember that he is relatively young. I mean, at best, what, early 20s?
And
no, he was still in school.
He was
but
late teens.
Yeah, but but that was like there's a 5-year gap between Justice League and like the New 52. So
yeah,
he'd be 21, 22.
Yeah, I forgot about that one.
And he was playing video games with teenage Billy Batson, and
yeah, and Billy is probably no more than 16, and even then, I think I'm being generous. I have to imagine he's like 12 or 13, and I would love to see them, because I think both of them kind of suffer from the same thing, and that they I think Shazam has a much better universe, especially in the New 52, in the sense that he has more, you know, he has more siblings and stuff like that. And I think it would be interesting for a lot of people to kind of see a kid in foster care system and, you know, kind of getting along with his foster siblings and stuff like that, and still being able to turn into a superhero. I think there's a lot of potential for that, and I hope that's what they do with the movie as well. I mean, I'm already kind of confident that they got The Rock, and even if he's the villain, The Rock doesn't necessarily do dark and gritty.
No. The Rock is about the fun.
Yeah, you get Rock because he's charismatic. He lights up a room. So I'm hoping that's the tone that the rest of the movie carries. It'd be really awkward if the hero was darker than the villain.
That would be really weird. Like, what?
But yes, just to kind of wrap this up.
Yeah, dude.
I was going to try to cover Convergence on the website. Because that was DC's, Britain Koo has labeled their Band-Aid event, which is kind of a way to get them through their move to Los Angeles over the next couple of months. And I was going to cover that, and I was going to cover Marvel's Secret Wars, Battle World, or whatever. Battle World. And so it doesn't make any sense now if DC's going to launch every half of their line again in June, so I think we're just going to push that back, and as much as we can humanly possibly do, we're going to try to review all their new number ones and tell you what's worth reading. We actually did it with the launch of the New 52. That was one of the most exhausting experiences of my life, trying to coordinate that with everybody.
You did. Oh, I remember that. Yeah, that was. I was impressed by that, man.
I've said this to you. I actually own all of the New 52 number ones. I forgot what site it was. Some site was offering. It was like 20% off, and I just was like, I'm going to buy them all so I can review anything that nobody. The only problem with when you order comics is you don't get them day of, so I was behind. But it also gave me a chance to say, okay, these were already covered for this week, so I don't have to read. I don't think I opened a lot of them. But I own every single one of those.
But the part is like the one that maybe people still want to get their hands on out of those number ones is still like the Batman and stuff like that. And it's kind of amazing. It's kind of amazing to me actually that a lot of Nifty 2 stuff, some of it lasted way for the stuff they canceled. A lot of it lasted longer than anyone could have imagined. I mean, Green Arrow has survived multitudes of creative teams, and
well, I think Arrow,
I think
Green Arrow is a really weird one, because the biggest hurdle for it now is that the show's super popular, and the show and the comics are nothing alike. And I think one of the most recent writers were trying to fold those two universes together by fleshing out his time on the island and stuff like that, and it's
the one that's writing it now works on the show.
Yeah,
but even still, again, it's kind of like Batman Beyond, where you're starting with a lot of pieces that DC already had in place that you can't really retroactively fit. Like, as far as I know, Myra was never a big part of the Green Arrow. I don't even think he had a mother. I'm sure he had a mother, but I don't think...
Because he was basically Batman with bow and arrow. They died.
It's really funny. All of us who are fans of the show, like everyone says, we kind of have to cop to the fact that Arrow is Batman.
Well, yeah, I mean Arrow. I mean it's literally Batman in both senses. I mean they made fun of that in the comic books, but if you look at the TV show, it's basically taking beats from Nolan's Batman films and just stretching them out. Like the climax of this past week was really the end of The Dark Knight Rises with the cops
Holy
on
crap,
one side
yes,
and the army of criminals on the other side. He even had the hero come back in town.
That's
and beat
funny.
Up the dude. It's the same exact, and it's the same stupid nonsense in the fact that both sides have, like, the one side has guns. Why are you rushing to fist fight? But
I did not even think about
it's more than that. It's worse than Rises. There was a tank in Rises. That's worse.
Dude, it's really funny. Like, this is how much we... It's like one of the things where all of us who like Arrow, we all go. But trying to get some of that stuff in Arrow to work in a comic is a little quirky.
Yeah, and because it's also different on how a TV show is formulated than how a comic book is. Because, like, I mean, for example, like the last three episodes of Arrow were very light on Arrow, but you could do that because you have him in there, you can do the flashback. Where comic books, I mean, you have like 25 pages. If half of your comic book was dedicated to flashbacks and stuff like that, you wouldn't get much forward progress on the issue, and that would piss people off. So it is
a comic.
Yeah. Oh, talk while he barks.
Because a comic still has to be able to be something that, while part of a storyline, still has to be something that you can absorb in one issue. Like even because they always say every comic is someone's first comic, and you still have that situation of at least you can kind of pop into a comic at any given time and still be able to absorb it.
Yeah,
not saying perfectly, but at least two of the agree. They're like, oh, okay, and if you try to do like the flashbacks and all that in a comic, it just drags the comic down.
Yeah,
right?
I also and okay, we're gonna wrap this up. But it's also I always you know whenever people complain about like oh they didn't get this right, they didn't get that right when they adapt something, I always try to remind people a comic's a comic, a TV show's a TV show, a movie's a movie. Trying to replicate any of those exactly into another medium is just cause for disaster. I mean. The only one I can think of that has successfully done that was Sin City, and that did it once because nobody recommended Dame to Kill For. The Spirit tried to do that, and people aren't keen on the Spirit.
I'll tell you, actually, something that's actually replicated the comic book style mixed in with a TV style is probably The Flash right now is doing an astonishing job in making, but even people
will complain about that because a lot of people who have issues with The Flash, for those insane enough, they always kind of make reference to the fact that it's not Barry Allen. They basically pasted Wally West's personality onto him,
and it's like,
which is true because Wally West is an interesting character. Barry Allen is not, but Barry Allen is the current Flash.
Weird, that's the weirdest one, because I identify, to me, Wally is the Flash, and this is just going off that. He's still Kid Flash in Young Justice, but I don't care about Barry in general, and even in the Justice League cartoon, it's Wally.
I think to a lot of people, Wally, that is the Flash you kind of get used to, and that is, I mean, he's similar in personality to the Wally West on the Justice League cartoon than Barry Allen. Barry Allen is pretty much a straight ace, and that would not be an interesting character.
And let's not forget as well, Barry was dead for a long time.
What, 25 years or so?
Yeah,
but,
so Wally is the Flash for a lot of people, like Kyle Rayner is the Green Lantern for a lot of people. Mm-hmm.
And again, it's like, but Hal, I think Hal has the personality that people would prefer. If they did another Green Lantern live action stuff, even though I'm okay with all of them. Hal's my least favorite. I think ideally, if you wanted to, Guy Gardner would be awesome. Though I don't think you can make much of, but you can't make beyond a single movie without people just kind of getting annoyed with that.
Guy Gardner you can only use in a dose. Like in doses, you'd have to be careful how to use Guy Gardner.
Anyhow, before this goes on for an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah.
I will just say, I think it's an extremely exciting time to be a comic fan. I say this all the time recently.
Yeah.
It's so, so displeasing that I see people who focus on the negatives and stuff like this happens, the stuff you don't have, the characters who are missing, the creators you don't like. DC is doing nearly 50 books. Like, I understand that, you know, like, your Cassandra Cain may not be back, and you're missing a Batwoman book, but there's so much more that you can focus on. And, you know, the TV shows, starting with Avengers in a couple of months, we're going to have at least 3 comic book movies a year until at least 2020 at this rate.
Yeah.
I think with DC State of Books, I think with Marvel's been doing with Thor and Ms. Marvel and all that other stuff, I think there's never been a more accessible time in recent memory for people to get into comic books. Not just in, you know, like starting new number ones, but in having a diverse set of characters who need books, or a diverse set of books from these companies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we mentioned Hawkeye, which is about a hero not being a hero. You mentioned Young Avengers, which is about being a teen hero. Gotham Academy, which is literally just like going to school in the backdrop of one of the most dangerous city in comic books. Stuff like that. So there's a ton of different tones, there's a ton of different styles. Even if it's just one book, I'm sure that the big two putting out something you might enjoy. And if not, there are dozens of independent comic book companies I find out every week when they email me.
Yeah. And now we've never, I mean, like I said, we all have our little issues here and there, but for the most part, no, this is probably one of the best times to be a comic fan in a long freaking time. I mean, it's kind of mind-blowing to me. I mean, like you said, it's like, and you're talking about the movies, but even the TV shows. I mean, good Lord, all the TV shows that are in that are in one stage of development or another.
And a lot more diverse than some of the comic books they come from, but neither here nor there. But I want to thank, before we go, actually, I know Kyle runs his website, so if you want.
Yes, I'm allowed to plug, yay! Yeah, I run nerdsonchain.com. Website, reviews, comics. Basically, it's Nerds on the Rocks. Just think of Nerds on the Rocks with a British guy.
I like
who doesn't know what he's doing.
I also pretty much the same way.
And I also do a podcast called The Ultimate Spin, talking about Miles Morales, The Ultimate Spider-Man, and now Spider-Gwen. Spider-Gwen number one this month, so yay!
Cool! I'm looking forward to that myself, actually. Spider-Gwen looks like it's going to be so much fun. Even still, I'm actually looking forward to Silk, too, because I've been reading up on Silk recently. I'm looking at that's going to be cool, too.
Oh yeah, follow me, at Just Kyle Mack. Yay!
Yay!
And Wesley, do you have anything to plug?
I still do my thing over at RyansWithGeek.com. I do reviews, and I do reviews. I'm right now currently not on any podcast regularly right now. This is like the first time I've actually been on a podcast in a long time, so yay. Last time I did a podcast, well, it has been a while. Yowza. Then I still do my RyansWithGeek.com. I'm working on multitudes of different projects right now that I'm not at liberty to share until I actually get a final timeline on how I want to get them all together. But I've got some cool stuff in the works that's going to be a lot of fun once I get it rolling. And then pretty much that's about it on my end. Nothing much else. Oh, and if you want to follow me on Twitter, at Captain Comic Addict, at CAPT Comic Addict. And yeah, feel free. And also, by the way, people have, and also I have not changed my Twitter handle in a very long time because I got yelled at for changing it too many times in one short period of time. So Captain Comic Addict stays for the near future. So
yes, and as for us, you can usually find us on nerdsontherocks.com if it's actually working, because that's been a fun treat the past few weeks.
Earl, just break your site.
Not again, but the site seems to be acting up.
Earl,
we're in the we're somehow, somewhere or another, we're transitioning into a Moshi comic book site at some point. So what we're doing now is every Saturday, I guess, or every other Saturday, I haven't worked out the schedule with the writer yet, we're doing a top 7 Marvel Cinematic Universe list on the site. So far we've done top 7 Marvel Cinematic Universe cameos, and as of today, this Saturday, February 7th, I guess, we have done the top 7 uses of music in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which surprisingly enough does not end with a Guardians of the Galaxy reference as number 1. I was surprised by that too. And if I can remember to do it, every Sunday is what actually Wesley helped me name this is the DC Animated Chronicle. The DC Chronicles and whatever.
That was fun, by the way, to help you come up. That was like, I was just like one quick message. And you're like, hey, I like that. Like, and then I saw it, I'm like, son of a gun, he really liked it.
So,
that's awesome.
So yes, since there, even now, there is still a year, 13 months until Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice comes out.
Yeah.
So I've been going through...
Where is our teaser trailer? Where is the
yeah.
trailer?
So I've been going through... So on the bright side, DC has a vast history in animation, and they were the original connected universe. So I've been going through that in various phases. I did Secret Origins, which looks at the various origins of their superheroes that they presented, Master of Phantasm, Batman Year One, etc. And right now I'm on the Rogues Gallery, which is kind of an introduction of their popular villains. I've done Heart of Ice, I've done Bane. This week should be Blast from the Past, which introduces not necessarily General Zod, but the General Zod-ish that they use on Superman Animated Series, stuff like that. And then it will go into various formats. But yes, for the foreseeable future, we will have a Marvel Cinematic thing on Saturday and a DC Animated thing on Sunday. We have our comic book reviews that go up Wednesday, Thursdays, and Fridays, apparently any day of the week now. Sometimes Tuesdays if I actually want to do some work. Reviews of any of the DC animated films. We did Throne of Atlantis. I believe Viego Justice League versus Bizarro League should be up soon. And all that other great stuff. And, you know, just check out the website. We do more than comics, but there's a ton of comics book stuff because everybody loves comic books. Oh, yeah, and weekly reviews of Arrow, The Flash, Agent Carter, Gotham, and Constantine, which was not a great idea in hindsight because...
I love it.
Because if you get off schedule, a lot of stuff just piles up really quickly on you.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, I want to thank Wesley and Cal, and we will catch you when we catch you.